So we see Jesus heading north there, you know, because he was right now in the south. And so why did Jesus head north? Some people will say it's to escape Herod. And because we're facing right now, what's happened is it says at the very beginning of today's gospel that Jesus heard that John had been arrested and he withdrew to Galilee. So he's heading up north, okay? And he's so in hearing that John has been beheaded, has been killed, then Jesus recognizes that the people in the south are not receptive to his word. They are not receptive to his word, okay, at the present time. So here's Christ. What does he do? He goes north. But it's interesting, by going north, guess what happens? He goes from the frying pan into the fire. Why do I say that? Because his first stop's Nazareth. What happened at Nazareth in the north? Christ gets up. It says, as was his custom on the Sabbath. So see, we hear the word, as was his custom on the Sabbath, and goes to the synagogue. So we're seeing that Christ is keeping the Sabbath holy. Okay, if Christ can fulfill it, we can fulfill it too. He gives us that grace. So we see Christ entering into the synagogue, and there he opens the book of Isaiah and begins to read, and all the eyes are on him, locked on him, intent, okay, at his words. Well, what does Christ do? He closes that book, and they're still intent on him. What does he do? Oh, man, he rocks the boat, guys. He rocks the boat. He rocks the boat. Why does he rock the boat? Well, you got to remember, he started off, you know, it says here, when Jesus began his ministry, he's gone north, he's beginning his ministry, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in rocking the boat, he reveals the hearts of the people. And what do? They rise up and walk him to the brow of a cliff and wanting to throw him off. But Christ walks right through them and goes on his way. Goes and continues northward. Now see, there's a lot of things that are going on here that we don't really hear the full story. So I want to share some of the full story with you, so we can understand also the other reason why Christ has gone north and what he's doing. Because it's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And the key word in the prophecy of Isaiah, if we think through things, there's this one word that stands out. And it says, you have smashed, okay, it says, and the rod of their taskmaster you have smashed as on the day of Midian. Well, what's the day of Midian? I mean, that should be something that stands out to us out of curiosity. What's the day of Midian? Because, see, the quote in today's gospel actually comes from the Isaiah prophecy, okay? And so you go back to Isaiah and you see that as on the day of Midian. Well, what happened on the day of Midian? Everybody knows Gideon, right? Gideon, and so who is Gideon? Well, during that time of Gideon, Gideon was a prophet of Israel. And during that time when Gideon was alive, what happened is the Israelites were under a lot of oppression. The Midianites were actually oppressing the Israelites. And see, God permitted that oppression of the Israelites. Why? It's usually God permits oppression. It's because we're in the state of sin. All right? God lets us suffer the consequences of our sin. All right? So he's permitting the Israelites. Again, we are no different than the Israelites. If we want to know ourselves, read sacred scripture. Read about the Israelites. We'll know ourselves. We'll know how fickle we are. Okay, so here he is there. They're under oppression. And now under oppression, guess what they do? Is when they're under oppression, they cry out to God for deliverance. Well, God gives them Gideon. And now everybody has seen the movie, The Spartans, you know, the 300, you know. All right, that's not a good movie. Don't watch it, okay? It's better to read the story, The 300 of Gideon. All right, so go back to sacred scripture, Judges, chapter 6 through 9, through 8, actually, all of 8. Read that, it's really good. So Gideon gathers an army together, and what Gideon does is he gathers that army, but that army is pretty big to take on the Midianites, and God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that big army. So he says to Gideon, as the men are drinking from the pool of Herod, it's called the pool of Herod, and as they were drinking from that, he says, choose the ones who bring up the water in their hands, okay? There's different words that are used, but that's what it is. The ones that are drinking from their hands, they scoop up the water and drink from their hands, like that. So there's only 300 of those. 300. And so what transpires then is, so Gideon tells them, okay, now they're going to go into battle against the Midianites. And what they do is they have these torches and they have a vase or a vase. And so they take that vase and they put it over top of the clay pot, over top of that torch. And it's at night, okay? It's at night, which is showing oppression. That's a symbol of oppression. Nighttime. And what they do is they stand and they're ready, and Gideon gives the signal, blows the trumpet, and boom, they break the jars, and the light shines out, and it confuses the enemy, the Midianites. And the Midianites, in their confusion, they see that they are overwhelmed. In their confusion, they get up and they begin to run, and the Israelites pursue them and destroy them. Pursue them and destroy them. Now, you might be asking, geez, Father, where are you going with this? This is really confusing. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Because remember, Jesus is going north. And what did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. He is the Gideon. And he is the light that will dispel the darkness that the north is under at that present time. And so Christ goes north. After he leaves Nazareth, he continues north to Galilee, where he chooses his 12. Like Gideon chose his 300, Christ chooses his 12 to convert the world. All right? And so it's an interesting story with Gideon as it is with Jesus Christ and the northern kingdoms there of Capernaum and Naphtali up there and Zebulun. Because we're going to hear a little bit more about what Christ says about Naphtali, Zebulun, and Capernaum. Actually, Christ scolds them later on. And it's very interesting. Remember, Christ starts out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, remember what repent means, metanoia, change of heart. Change of heart. Remember that. That is key. Metanoia means change of heart. All right? So when we repent, we're called to change our heart. So see, now let's go back to Gideon. I'm going to step back to Gideon now. And so what happened is after Gideon defeated the Midianites, what happened? The Israelites became comfortable. When they weren't comfortable, they cried out to God. When they became comfortable, guess what they began to do? They began to slip back into old habits. And they offended God once more, it said. They slipped back into old habits and they offended God. Now, why is this so important? Because Jesus going up north, he does all these miracles for in Capernaum, in Zebulun, in Naphtali. And when he withdraws from that region, guess what happens? They were really joyful to have him there because he was doing all this healing. He was bringing them out of the darkness. But then when Christ withdraws, what does he do? He shows the reality of our hearts. He shows us truly where we are at to keep us humble. Because when he begins to withdraw, what happens? The Israelites, those people in Capernaum, Naphtali, and Zebulun, they return back. They don't have the true metanoia. They don't have the true repentance that Christ calls them to. And guess what Christ says about them later on? He says this about them later on. He says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, those areas up there. Okay? For if the mighty works had been done in you in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And Capernaum, where he chose his disciples in Galilee. See, Galilee, that area. Will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. Oh my gosh, those are strong words. Why? For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom. See, now Christ is comparing Capernaum to Sodom. done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But see, Sodom didn't hear the words. So he's saying if Sodom would have heard it, they would have converted. And you heard it, but you didn't convert. You didn't have that metanoia, that change of heart, that continuation. See, you know, I've been sick here for the past few days. And I had a bad stomach virus. I caught that. And when I got sick, you know, I was sitting there, and it was late at night, and I was just, ugh. And you know what happened? Immediately I began to say, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. And then, you know, as the stomach virus always takes us, I began to say, you know, Lord, I said, Lord God, I offer this up to you through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the chaste heart of Saint Joseph for the salvation of sinners. I kept repeating that over and over. Why did I do that? Because I said, I'm not going to waste this grace. You know, and when I begin to do that, it always brings me back to myself. And the interesting thing is, why is that so important? Because when we are in suffering, when I'm in suffering at least, where do I go? Who do I turn to? I turn to God, okay? I can turn to self-pity. I can begin to self-pity myself. Oh, woe me, woe me, woe me. But why waste the grace? You know, why waste the grace? Anyways, I'm by myself, so nobody's going to hear me. You know, woe me, you know, God might hear me, he'll get a little bit upset with me, but instead I turn around and say, Lord God, I offer this up to you, this suffering up to you, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the chaste heart of Saint Joseph for the conversion of sinners. See, when we are in suffering, we have a habit, we should have a habit of uniting ourselves with God and calling on to God. And it's amazing how God responds to us. And God responds to us and begins to bring that healing to us. And then as I look at the pattern in my own life, guess what happens? When God heals me, guess what happens? For maybe a week or two, and after that I begin to slip back into my old patterns. Just like the Israelites did. And guess what that shows? That reveals my heart. It reveals really the metanoia in my heart. Did I really have true repentance? Did I really have that true metanoia? All the graces and gifts that I see that God is working in my life, do I actually really allow that to take root in me and to bring about that conversion, sanctification, and salvation within my life? And I think that that's something that each one of us need to question within our own personal lives. One of the beautiful things that I see that's happening in this parish right now is some of the men in this parish are doing like this Exodus 90, and that requires a lot of sacrifice, all right? And the beautiful thing about doing penance is that in that penance is supposed to draw us closer to God. It's supposed to empty us of ourselves and draw us closer to God. It reveals to us those broken parts of our life, actually, penance does. And it reveals to us those areas of our life that need to be healed up, that need to be fixed. That's the beautiful thing about penance. And in that penance, we begin to draw closer to our Lord God. And just like the, you know, I don't know about you guys, but after penance, you know, like if I give up something after, you know, for 40 days, or these guys are doing it for 90 days, if I give up something, and man, once that last day's over, I start pounding what I gave up. What does that say about my repentance? I go from virtue to gluttony, from temperance to gluttony, from moderation to gluttony, to intemperance. It's showing a break. It's showing a problem. Always look at what happens after we're done fasting or suffering, and after we're done calling out to God. Always take a look at your lives, our lives. Because that's really going to reveal the true metanoia, the true repentance that takes place in our lives. We have to be truthful with ourselves. If we aren't truthful with ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere in our spiritual life. We're going to think that we're going to go to heaven. You know, we think, oh man, I'm perfect, I'm going to go to heaven. And we end up going to Hades, to hell. Because if the miracles would have been done, that were done in our life, were done in somebody else, they would have repented. But we fell back into our own ways. That's why Christ said too, a dog returns to its vomit and a sow rolls in its mire. A pig goes back and rolls in its mire. He was speaking about us. You might not like what I'm hearing, but take a look at your lives and make that judgment for yourself as you go through suffering and you cry out to God. How long does it take after God works His grace in your life that you begin to return back? Remember, we are in a battle. We are always called to stay alert. St. Peter says, the devil is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stay alert, he says. Stay alert, for the devil is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So let us stay alert. Let us take a look at our lives and be honest with ourselves and honest with the metanoia, through the repentance that we are confessing. This week is Catholic School Week. It is a tradition here at Our Lady of Loreto to invite one of our students to read an essay she wrote about our parish school. So I'd like to introduce Josie Troba, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and to read her essay.
Hello, my name is Josie Troba and I'm in fourth grade. I love Our Lady of Loreto. It's a fun Catholic school, so I will tell you some reasons why. One thing I learned is language arts. It has been my favorite so far. I love to write stories that help me use my imagination. I have written 2 short stories and I love them. Language arts is awesome. I really like music. It allows me to sing out loud. Our teacher, Mrs. Dombowski, teaches us songs, and normally we do programs. In fourth grade, we do something called the Go West program. In that, we sing about going west. Music is just the best. Something else about our Catholic school is we have Mass. Every Wednesday, we go downstairs to get the preschoolers and take them to Mass. They like to listen to the Word of God and learn more about their faith. The first Friday of every month, we do a craft with them. They are so cute. Math and science have never really been my favorite. I have learned a lot, but never really enjoyed it as much. That's from my point of view. Some kids in my class have it as their favorite class, because it's fun, which it is, just not my favorite. Another thing I really like is sports. At our school, we have baseball, volleyball, cross country, basketball, and last but not least, flag football. I love to do sports. I love our school. It's fun and enjoyable. I recommend this school because it is the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Josie.